Veteran Radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems. 101.3 The Buzz, now live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Welcome to the fastest hour on radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or on the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. I'm Scott Webb. To my right is my I'm going to put it this way. It's the guy I can depend upon the most. If Kyle's out there listening on his way back from Knoxville. But my man Jason Hildebrand. Jason, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. It's a beautiful Wednesday outside. You know, it's a little warm. It's starting to feel a little bit of heat down here.
Starting to feel a little like summer out there.
Yeah, summer started a while back. And, you know, now it's starting to kind of feel like it. You know, it's a very, very nice day, though.
Yep. We've got a big show for you today. We're going to break down the snooze fest, if you will. It had a high snooze rating. This past week, as Martin Truex Jr. Did everything but sell popcorn at Kentucky this week, and he won a big race. We've got some big news from the track. We've got the silly season's already started, as Matt Kenseth is going to be leaving JGR. We got some news and updates on that. And as always, we'll have your power rankings and our picks to win. I'm not even sure my pick to win just yet.
I got mine. I'll keep it. I'll keep it under wraps.
Keep it under wraps. But thanks for joining us here on Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Jason, they had to deal with some rain, deal with some issues. The truck race on Thursday was pushed back. It ended up not finishing almost 1 o'clock. Yeah. It started about 9:30, 10 o'clock. They didn't even attempt the Xfinity race on Friday. They just moved it straight to Saturday, and it ended up probably being the best race of the weekend. Very exciting race with Kyle Busch winning and Ryan Blaney almost coming through the field in about 20 laps. It was that was an exciting race.
Yeah, that's what tires do for you, you know, in that Xfinity race. It was really fun to watch, you know, and even though, you know, the cars were pretty much spread out. You know, Blaney was making a lot of movement up towards the front. He was gaining half a second on Kyle Busch during those last laps, and it was fun to watch.
It was fun. I was sitting there thinking, man, if this thing was about 3 laps longer, it would be real exciting to see. Blaney gets a late penalty, goes to the rear of the field, and then literally just there's, you know, I think it was Jeff Burton said, well, there's no way he's done for the and literally if he had about 3 more laps he could have won that thing.
Yeah, I think he would have.
Yeah, switch our attention to Sunday or to Saturday night, and it was the excitement level was just not there because there was one guy that was just better than everybody else.
Yeah, you look at Martin Truex Jr., you know, and congrats to him. I think he's doing a heck of a job. You know, I think he has done a heck of a job for years. You know, they got good equipment over there. You know, you saw Truex early in his career kind of struggle out there, but I think he's with a good team. They've got good equipment, and he's the only one. He's the only Toyota out there that's been consistent at this point in time. I like what he's doing. I like Martin Truex Jr. a lot, but it was a dominating performance out there by the 78 all night long.
You know, we've seen Truex do this a couple times now. Yeah. I think back last year to the 600, where he just, I mean, they went 600 laps. He led, it seemed like 598 of them or something like that. This team has really kind of found its mojo the last couple years where you really have to think of him as probably the favorite right now going into as we etch, you know, step closer and closer to the playoffs.
I mean, I know we'll go over the point standings in a little while, but if you think about it, he's on top and he's basically got a 100-point lead over third place. I mean, that is telling me that, you know, you're going out there and dominating every single week. You know, he's had a couple of DNFs, he's had a couple of wrecks here and there. But for the most part, if it's nothing like that, he doesn't make the dumb mistakes out there that you see other drivers making, especially the 88. But you know, he's going out there and running good races every single week.
Here's a stat that's impressive. If you look at playoff points, he has 28 playoff points. He has 12 more than Jimmy Johnson, who's in second with 16. he is almost has as many playoff points as Johnson, who's in second place, has points. And those are points that carry all the way to Homestead. So he is really kind of distanced himself. Not only are they winning races with his third win this week, they're making stage points and playoff points a priority, and he's up front week in and week out.
And think about it. He's got three victories. He's got three wins on the season. Jimmy Johnson has three wins on the season. Truex is almost 200 points ahead of him. 200 points almost. It's actually 190. But, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's remarkable to see. You know, we talk about Truex and the situation that moved him to Furniture Row and all that. But to see, you know, and Kurt Busch laid a good foundation there the year before. So they were already kind of ticking up. But where they had a year of adjustment. But since that year, it's now his third year in the car. We see a guy that is not only capable, not only does he looks like he's capable of winning a championship, he looks like he's capable of winning multiple championships because they are just a well-organized machine.
And you can tell he's going out there week in and week out and having fun out on the track. You know, you hear it in his voice, you hear it in his interviews, and it's really fun to see. And I'm really pulling for the guy. I think he's a class guy. I like checking out what's going on with Martin Truex Jr. and you know, I think he's one of the good guys in the sport.
Well, to kind of look at some of the other drivers, you know, Kyle Busch, who won the Xfinity race, was actually going for the first win by a driver on the same day in two different categories and series from the pole. I mean, he was on the pole for both those races. He's won a couple times at Kentucky. Had a very good car, probably the second best car of the day. Yeah. But you know, its circumstance just kind of ended him where.
Yeah, and looking at that first stage, really, he came out and was leading early in that first stage and led for a while in the race. And I was like, you know, I think he's I think my pick of Busch last week might not be a bad pick. And then it was the Truex show. That's all it was.
Yeah, it was. He had a good car. Mm-hmm. We saw some other guys have a good car. You talk about the current point leader, Kyle Larson. If you look at the overall standings, they can't get through tech to qualify, so they have to start at the back of the field. He comes back through the field all the way into the top five, and then gets a speeding penalty and has to do it all over again. He had to pass 100 cars last week in Kentucky, or at least it felt like that, because he put himself in the back, raced to the front, put himself in the back, raced to the front.
I'd be willing to say that with lap traffic, he probably passed 100 cars. You know, I mean,
and it's amazing, and it shows you could see when they were talking to him after qualifying, mm-hmm. there was no panic there. Man, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to have to take some chances. No, we're going to just drive to the front. We know we have a good race car. We get in race trim. Now, there may have been some reasons why he had a good car, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But this is a team, again, and he's a driver that's showing that week in and week out, doesn't matter where we start. Jimmy Johnson, if you want Jimmy Johnson to win a race, start him at the back of the pack. Larson's the same way. Those teams and those drivers, they find a way to move themselves forward and put themselves in a position.
I don't know if you saw it on the pre-race, Scott, and they were showing a video clip of Kyle Larson when he was young.
And I did.
The video, and he said he wanted to start in the back. And you're like, why do you want to start in the back? And it's something like he wants to pass the cars or something like that. I want to go out there and show everybody I can drive.
Well, the guy I picked last week had and Penske as a whole has kind of struggled just a little bit, but Keselowski gets spins and turn three, takes out some good cars, ended up taking out Jimmy Johnson, wrecked, didn't do a whole lot of damage to Clint Bowyer, but again, the Penske cars, they really have lost a little bit of motor, and I know Keselowski has been a little more consistent. A lot of the stuff that's happened to him over the last 3 or 4 weeks are really not self-induced. It's, you know, just being at the wrong place at the wrong time, but there is a little struggle. There is a little struggle going on with that organization.
Yeah, and, you know, we touched on it, matter of fact, a few weeks ago, and you kind of look at one of the you got two great drivers in that organization over at Penske. You got Keselowski and Logano. And ever since, we talked about it, ever since Logano had that win stripped, that team has not been the same. That 22 has not gone out there and performed well at all. And I was even seeing something on TV. They were interviewing him, and he was talking about the mindset of that team after they had that win stripped away from them. And they were kind of in the dumps. And, you know, it's not getting any better at this point.
And at this point, you know, it's something good is going to have to happen to this team. Momentum is a real thing in sports. We see Blaney, who had another good race car and has been a little more consistent over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks than the other Penske cars. I know that technically he's a Wood Brothers car, but it's essentially all the same thing.
Kind of like Eric Jones and
Martin Truex Jr. Yeah, they're Gibbs cars, whether or not they're actually Gibbs cars or not. But it seems like that team, that Penske team, really needs to find a way to generate a little momentum. And they've got and I know they've got some tracks coming up that they run well at, but it's getting to be that point in time where, although we had a multiple winner win again this week, somebody that had already won a race and didn't knock anybody out playoff points wise, Logano lost more points again, and for the first time in his career, if the playoffs started, he would not be out. He would be outside of the playoffs. So that team needs something good to happen.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at below him. You know, you got Blaney's below him in the points. You got Kurt Busch is below him in the points. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Newman, Austin Dillon, all those guys have won races this year. So guess what? He's the odd man. He's one of the odd men looking out, looking from the outside looking in. Let me say that.
Yeah, it's really hard to believe the way they started the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that, you know, Keselowski goes out, he wins a couple times, Logano wins. You're thinking, man, this team is going to put together a big year, 3, 4, 5 wins. And it's just they've kind of hit a summer lull, and it's kind of put a little lull in that momentum that they had going, and they haven't been able to recapture it as a team yet.
Yeah, I don't want to throw in the towel yet because they're still, you know, Keselowski's a past champion. He knows how to win, and he's clearly in the chase. He's sitting 8th in the points with victories, 2 victories, as a matter of fact. It's just the 22, there's something just not clicking there. Even though he could come away with an 8th place finish at Kentucky, everything else is just kind of bland since that.
One thing I want to kind of pick your brain about real quick before we go to break, and we're going to spend a lot of time after break talking about some of the changes that's happened at JGR, but that's an organization. Is there any possible scenario that you would have believed at the beginning of the year that we would be post July 4th and that organization would not have a win by anybody in the organization?
Absolutely not. You know, you look at Kyle Busch, I mean, this guy rattled off victory after victory 2 years ago. Denny Hamlin's a good driver. He's a really good driver. Matt Kenseth is a really, really good driver. You know, Daniel Suarez, he's a rookie. You know, there were some unknowns there if he's going to be able to. But he's got good equipment. But never in my mind would I have thought that after July 4th that Gibbs wouldn't be. The only Toyota that's won would be a Truex.
That to me is remarkable.
It is.
He's won 3 times. He's running the same equipment. They've figured something out. The other teams are struggling to find. The other 4 are struggling to find a way. I mean, you look at even Eric Jones. He's sitting, you know, 14th in points at the playoffs start of the day. He's going to be in the playoffs.
But you know, you look at Kyle though. I think part of the Kyle thing, he was without a crew chief for about 5, 6 weeks. So, I mean, without Adam Stevens for 4 weeks, he had to fill in for, 1 or 2?
Then they got suspended.
Yeah, so, I mean.
There's been some controversy, but we're past go time. We've got 8 races left to the playoffs. There's still going to be, we still got Watkins Glen coming up. We still got, now we're going to go back to Pocono and Michigan and some of those tracks again. We got Richmond again. So, there's going to be some opportunities, but there's going to be some guys.
You got Bristol coming up. You know, Matt Kenseth is capable of winning Bristol. So is Kyle. Kyle actually dominates in the truck series
and
Xfinity series, but not so much in the Monster Energy series at Bristol. But, you know, Kenseth has been really good there. So I think there's opportunities for those guys to come out with some victories. But you look at the Michigan, the Poconos. Yeah, I tend to lean towards those Penske cars. In those type of on those type of tracks.
Well, we'll see. We've got a big a short track this week and a little bit different. The New Hampshire. We'll get into a little more New Hampshire. We've also got some big news coming up surrounding Matt Kenseth is out in a big penalty on the 42 car. We'll get all that more in just a minute.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio.
Big lobster trip.
Every time I'm Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Thanks for joining us. However you're joining us, if you're listening on 101.3 The Buzz or on the TuneIn app, thanks so much for making us a part of your ride home. And if you, you know, and if you can't make it to the studio to actually talk racing, we will actually let you call in and talk on the radio. We're joined by our beloved leader, wherever he may be, somewhere on 75, traveling back from his day job, Mr. Jamie Kyle. How are we doing today, buddy?
Doing fantastic. It's great to be up in Knoxville, you know, the city of orange and white. And, you know, Butch Jones, Tennessee Volunteers.
Trevor Bain.
Hey, did you get you a Champions of Life ring while you was up there?
City Loves by Bubba Wallace. I mean.
Hey, did you get you a Champions of Life ring up there while you was up there today?
Did I get a chance to do what?
Did you get you a Champions of Life ring while you was up there today?
You know, I looked for that. I looked for that in the stores up there. I didn't see it. I don't know if they're converting all the Champions of Life to future national champions. Maybe that's where they're at right now. But, you know, fired up after hearing Butch Jones talk on Monday. It was great. And he didn't mention that. He didn't mention Champions of Life. So I'll tell you somebody who is a Champion of Life. You know who that is?
Who is that?
Martin Truex Jr.
That was Martin Truex Jr. He's not only a champion of life, but he's a champion of Kentucky. I think he's got that track whipped and Charlotte. When it got to a 15-second lead, you know, Saturday night, I think everybody kind of figured that there was nobody going to catch him.
Yeah, I do want to point out to our audience that you didn't even have Martin Truex Jr. in your top five power rankings. I'm sure that when you give your power rankings in a minute, he'll propel himself in there with a great showing, even though the guy had more stage points than anybody else. But you go right ahead. Let's talk more about your new guy, Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. You know, there's a method behind my madness, because when I'm out and you guys make up my power rankings, then you'll actually
I've never once made up your power rankings. No. That's a total Jamie Kyle thing.
Oh, I don't know why you haven't done that. Maybe I should listen more when I'm out.
You should listen more. You can get us our podcast. You can go to our Twitter feed, Racing Talk Radio, and hear that. Hey, we've got a new website coming soon. Excited about that, racingtalkradio.com. We appreciate all Mr. Whitfield has done to put that together, so look for that coming soon. We'll make a big announcement. We'll have podcast information up there. Lots of stuff going on. Pretty excited about that, but not to digress.
You're pretty good at that.
I am pretty good at that. Digressing or just talking about website stuff?
I was going to go to the flip side of that and say it's about time Mr. Whitfield's done something for us.
Well, amen on that. I will agree with that. I don't know if Boss Man's listening today, but exciting time.
Probably on his 12th trip to Florida, but we'll let him go with that. Hey, let's get to the Monster Energy Series point standings. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that, man.
All right, brought to you by Stephanie Painter with Crylock Realtors. You can give her a call, 650-9429, if you want to sell a home. Or if you're looking to buy a house, which a lot of people in Cleveland are, then make sure you give her a call. She is somebody, our families are friends, so I get to hang out with her a lot. She'll answer your call no matter where she's at, 650-9429. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It is your time for your Monster Energy Series NASCAR Cup Series standings after the Quaker State 400 Saturday night. Kyle Larson keeps his lead, overall point lead, but it's now trimmed to just 1 point. It's 15 points behind in stage points. So he's way behind number two, Martin Truex Jr. Kyle Busch, even though he does not have a win, in third. Kevin Harvick, fourth. Chase Elliott, fifth. Jamie McMurray, sixth. Denny Hamlin, seventh. Brad Keselowski, eighth. Jimmy Johnson, ninth. In his three wins, he's ninth. Go figure all that. I'll figure out what his year's been like. Clint Bowyer, 10th. Matt Kenseth, 11th. Joey Logano, 12th. Ryan Blaney, 13th. Eric Jones, Kurt Busch, and your top 16 rounds out with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series standings, brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Crylock Realty.
give her a call, 650-9429. When you've got a realtor, you want to make sure you have somebody you can trust and you can get a hold of. She does both of those very well, and she'll take care of you. That's Stephanie Painter, Cry Like Realtors. Guys, I wanted to ask you something. You said that the last guy, number 16, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., he's sitting there with two wins this year. And so, you know, I wonder, and if we could fast forward, and I wish NASCAR would do this on their website, but
fast
what
forward?
It would look like, well, if the chase started now is what I'm saying,
right.
What the lineup would look like. And, you know, I know we talked last week about Martin Truex and the amount of stage wins that he's gotten. He's gotten two more and another win on Saturday night. So I think that maybe makes him at 14. I don't have it in front of me, but the bonus points is what I'm interested in seeing and what that does for these drivers when the chase starts or the playoffs start.
Well, one thing out there too, Jamie, and I was just checking on the penalties from Kyle Larson. One of the things, the penalty drops him back 35 points, so that puts Truex first now in the point standings. In addition to what he's got as far as playoff points, the winner of the regular season picks up an additional 15 points heading into it.
Is that just 15 series season points?
The playoff points.
Playoff points, because
yes.
The playoff points are different. They carry all the way to the, and see, I like that because that puts emphasis on winning during the regular mm-hmm. season, and that gives you, I don't want to say a trophy for winning, but that gives you a big bonus where
yeah.
that you can make a mistake in those final nine races and still put yourself in position.
And second place gets 10 extra playoff points. So 15 for the winner in regular season and 10 for second place.
And Jamie, to your point, you know, Kenseth would actually, he's in 11th place right now. He would actually be the cutoff because there's five guys below him that have race wins. Logano right now would be on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
He's 7 points behind Kenseth right now. For the first time in his career, going into last week was the first time that he would ever been what would be considered outside the playoffs in his career since they went to this format.
And wouldn't that be awkward if the penalty that he got on his race win keeps him out of the playoffs? I think that would be something that would be a huge story. Now, I don't see that happening because of where they're going this weekend. He always, I think he's held up a couple of lobsters in his career. So, you know, got to be the favorite to win there. But that would be a big story if the penalty. And we've talked about penalties over the years, you know, not having that much of a significance. But that penalty that he got, keeping him out of the playoffs, if it went down that way, would be huge.
Well, there's a penalty. Losing points is one thing. But when it's bad enough where it takes a win away, you know, so all that time and effort and energy and bending the rules and working in the gray area or whatever that you did to get that win gets taken away from you. We talked about this in the first segment. Man, they have just – it sucked all the momentum out of that team, and they have not found a way to recover from that.
Absolutely, and that's what's going to be difficult for them. We had the, I guess, NASCAR drug some tires at Kentucky, and you guys may have already kind of covered this.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
What was your overall opinion? Yeah, I tried. I mean, you know, I got over Bowater, and I was able to do that. But what was your overall take at the race? You know, at Kentucky this weekend, as far as multiple grooves, I didn't really see. It seemed like the clean air played a big role.
I think that's exactly what we were talking about off the air. We would have liked to seen that, you know, the big thing now is to do that little tire dragging thing and try to put some rubber down on the track. It looks like they just didn't, you know, they should have done from the middle of the turn up to try to create that second lane. And it just never came in a little bit. In one and two, because there's a little more banking down there, you could run there a little bit. And on restarts,
yeah.
We saw some success on the top lane. But down in three and four, if you weren't hugging the yellow line, you just weren't getting through that turn or you were getting passed.
The other thing that kind of stuck out to me, and you guys will probably cover this in a little bit, but Brad Keselowski's comments being very critical of NASCAR about the car and stuff like that. So.
I know, and Truex even commented a little bit about that in his press conference. How much of that is just frustration because, you know, Brad's outspoken. He'll say what's on his mind, but he's been kind of toeing the line, you know, because they've had some things happen to them the last couple of weeks that really had nothing to do with this car. And this one was on him. So maybe some of that was just frustration. This is a track that he's won three times at. They only raced there six. So he's had a lot of success there. Maybe it was just frustration that they missed the setup.
That's like going out to, and hitting a bad shot in golf and blaming the golf club. You know, taking it out
of the golf club.
You can't do that. You can't do it.
You can't blame the golf club?
No.
It's not the golf club. It's the guy swinging the golf club.
That I'm 42 years old, I realize it's not the golf club's
fault. It's not the golf club. It's the guy swinging the golf club.
Yes.
Crap.
But at the end of the day, I don't know that there's some NASCAR fans out there, and maybe even including me, that says what he's saying. I mean, I think he's on the right track with his thought process. If all these cars are the same, and let's face it, I mean, they've got, you know, different motors and different emblems and stuff like that, and some of them
have the same car.
Nuances.
You're right. I listen.
Yeah, and you've got clean. That's where and at the end, clean air to me is what is the cars being the same
is the killer of the sport. Here's one of the things I found funny I've been watching. You know, they'll show some of these old races. So they showed the Talladega race from I don't know Allison and when Bill Elliott set the mile per hour and all that sort of stuff. They may have run in 3, 4, 5, 6 car single file lines, but there was no pack racing back then.
You don't have 40 cars.
You know, you didn't have 40 cars going around the track.
Yeah, everybody within a second.
No. So it's, I agree with you. I don't think there's enough difference in the cars based upon the manufacturer. I remember a day when every week, they were announcing some sort of change. Well, the Ford cars are getting this much on their springs, or the Chevy cars are getting this much more, you know, intake so the horsepower can be, you know. So they're trying to balance it through technology there. Now they just, it's the cars are the same. The engines are really the only thing that are different.
Yeah, it's definitely something they're going to have to look into. It's almost like you could find a happy medium from where it was when, you know, Elliott was at Kentucky making up three laps under, or at Talladega making up three laps under green, to, you know, something in between where they're at now and where they were. And it's going to take a lot. Maybe they've gotten too much into technology now to where these cars are really so close that it would take a lot to kind of bring that back to, you know, in between. I don't know, but, it's definitely a good topic of conversation from Brad Keselowski. And I'm glad he brought it up. He's one of the few that'll bring up stuff like that and have a conversation, and him being part of the drivers council, you know, maybe he catches the ear of NASCAR and maybe they start to kind of look.
Truex made
like that
very point. He said, well, he's part of the drivers council. He should have been addressing those issues. And maybe he was. But part of that was just frustration. I think they've just, that organization has struggled. Part of it is watching a car just go out there and just dominate from really 10 laps into the end of the race.
Yeah, I thought Kyle.
All right, boys, let me get.
I thought Kyle Busch had a good car to begin with, but it kind of slowly faded a little bit, and the 78 took over. But
yeah, it seemed like as it got darker, it got slower. So that was one of the intros. It got faster. Let me throw you out my power rankings because I'm gonna have to get on here and drive and
all
be
right.
careful and safe and stuff like that. But I'm gonna go with the 48, the 18, the 1. The 2.
Are you just randomly? Are you just picking numbers? Are you just picking numbers? So you're 48, which wrecked out and finished. Could somebody please tell me where the 48 finished? He finished like 36 this week.
Yeah.
And you
Jeffrey Earnhardt finished 7 spots ahead of him.
Yeah. And you moved him the 48 all the way into first place.
That's right. And then the 18 second.
Okay. And then
I'm looking over a body of work. Scott Webb. And
yeah.
Then the 1/3, I mean, the most
a dead body of work
driver you've had all year. Yeah.
All right, 42.
And then the 2. 42's gone. He's done.
I mean, the guy that finished 2nd this week and passed like 100
like
cars.
They said, though, there's a reason why he was passing the field.
Well, there may have been a reason. We'll get into that after the break. All right, get out of here. Be careful on your way home. Maybe you can join us next week on the show. That would be great.
We'll see you boys for sure next week.
All right, buddy, be careful.
All right, buddy.
Hey, my winner.
Nobody cares.
Go ahead and write it down.
You're just gonna pick. You're just gonna tweet about the winner that actually wins a race.
Who was his winner?
22
Logano.
The 22.
Okay.
That's a gamble. That's a big gamble for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good
Have fun, boys.
All right, buddy.
See you, man.
We'll see you.
Yeah, that I got to get those power rankings. I'm flustered here.
There's no rhyme or reason. Listen, people listen to this show. He had the 48 car, who does have three wins, okay, but he's also sitting seventh in the points, way behind. He's 12 playoff points behind Martin Truex.
Okay, he had a 48, the 18, the 1, the 2, and the 78.
And the 2 and the 48 wrecked each other out in this last race. And the 2 hasn't finished in the top.
It's all about the body of work.
It's all about the body of work. It's all about the body of something.
And the points leader current now with Truex, he's got fifth, and the guy in second is not.
He's not even in the. Okay. Not even in this car. Okay. Listen, there's no rhyme or reason.
That's
to
okay.
It.
It's
we'll let you dwell on that, and we'll be right back right after this break. Thanks.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems here on 101.3 The Bus. Scott Webb, Jimmy Kyle just left us. Jason Hildebrand sitting over to my right. Excited to have you here. Glad you could make it, unlike some people who couldn't take the time out of their day to decide to get back. But, you know, after that power ranking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
if I'd show up and talk on the radio about NASCAR. Either people would be questioning my
credentials.
Your credentials, your actual knowledge of the sport. But we'll get him back in next week and let him defend his.
Yeah, we'll give him a chance to defend.
Give him a chance to defend. He's going to have to. He may have to have a full legal team to defend those picks for power rankings. But, you know, to each his own. Some big news coming out of Kentucky that were off the track, Jason. Matt Kenseth, surprisingly, I was shocked when I pulled up the Twitter feed. He is, and it really sounds like he really didn't have much of a choice here, but Matt Kenseth is going to be leaving Joe Gibbs Racing, and since that announcement on Friday or whatever that was, it has been announced that Eric Jones is going to move from Furniture Row into that car.
You know, you look at the timing of it. The timing is odd, but it also gives, I guess, Kenseth another opportunity to pick up on a ride somewhere. You know, if you've got a car, if you've got a ride open, one of these owners do, that gives him an opportunity to get in that quicker, I guess, you know, at the end of this year. I mean, go ahead and get working with that team. I don't know if he's going to retire or if he's going to drive another year or a couple of years.
Well, some of the speculation is obviously it could almost be a switch in drivers. He may be able to move over to Furniture Row Racing and race out of that, which would not be a bad ride whatsoever. You're in the same manufacturer, basically the same family. There's a potential of that. I've also heard there was also some buzz this week about him maybe moving into the 88 car and driving it for a couple more years. Matt Kenseth has said he has no plans on retiring. He's 45 years old. He's one of the older drivers, but he's still very fit. I know they've struggled this year to win races, but this is a guy that won a couple two or three times last year and was right in the thick of the championship 2 years ago before him and Logano got into it. He was right there in the mix to win a championship. So this is a guy that can still drive a race car.
And I think you look, though, I think there's some unknowns as far as driver job security out there right now. I think you look at the 10. You know, is Danica going to be back in the 10 in 2018? Is Casey Kane going to be in the 5 at Hendrick in 2018? I think there's just a lot of unknowns with the status of some of these cars on some of these multi-car teams.
It is setting up to be one of the
silly seasons.
One of the bigger silly seasons. We could actually see some. A lot of time it's just rumor and nothing really comes to fruition, but it looks like there could be some big. There's a possibility of some big names changing rides, and a lot of that, you know, obviously with Junior leaving the sport, Dale Junior leaving the sport, that kind of creates a some unique opportunities and some of the contracts that are up this year as well means that the silly season could be it could be as wild as any other free agency in any of the other big time sports.
Yeah, I think so as well. You look at Erik Jones going to go over from Furniture Row driving at 77. He's currently sitting in 14th in the points. You know, the guy's done very, very well as a rookie. You know, kind of struggled at the beginning of the season, but I think he's turned it around somewhat this year. Like I said, sitting 14th, that's a lot. It's better than a lot of drivers out there. So yeah. I think you'll do well over there. But, you know, what's kind of concerning to me, though, is Gibbs. Now, you're going to have your four drivers. You're going to have Hamlin. You're going to have Kyle Busch. But then you also got two very, very young drivers in Suarez and Erik Jones. You know, like I said, the Suarez thing this year hasn't worked out great, but he's a rookie. So you're going to have 2 second-year guys driving two of your cars.
Well, here's the thing. Don't you think – when you look at what happened at Roush.
Mm-hmm. Going young like that.
Right. They went all young. Mm-hmm. You know, some of that was not to their accord because some of their big-name guys, you know, Kenseth and then Edwards, both left that organization and went to Gibbs. But part of that may be, hey, we need to go ahead and start bringing in some of our youth, some of our talented guys that we've brought up through these different series and now are ready to show and prove that they can be a top-flight driver in the top series in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, you lock them up. You lock those guys up when they're young and, you know, not literally lock them up while they're young, but, I mean, you know, lock them into a contract while they're young.
I hear you, buddy. I hear you.
So you grow them and develop them in your program. And I think it's a good thing, but I could also see negatives to it as well.
Right. One of the young drivers who's made a big name in the sport over the last couple of years is Kyle Larson. We've kind of alluded to it a little bit mm-hmm. today, but a big penalty to the 42 car, which actually took him out of the points lead. You got a little more information on that?
Yeah, he's actually docked 35 points, and his crew chief Chad Johnston suspended 3 races. They had an illegal rear brake cooling assembly, and that was post-race inspection. So now he's actually 34 points behind Martin Truex Jr., and according to ESPN.com, NASCAR found the violation during its Tuesday inspection. What determined was Larson's car violated the rule that prohibits ductwork or other devices to pass from one area of the interior of the vehicle to another or the outside of the vehicle. And what they're saying is manipulating the way the air flows underneath the car can impact how it handles through the turns. So, you know, he was passing a lot of cars. That's what it said right here the very next sentence. That Larson twice nearly drove through the field Saturday night. And, you know, that's a big hit to him. It's a big hit to that team, docking them 35 points.
Right, but you didn't win a race, and you didn't lose any of those. You just lost some points. It moves you back. But, they you know, those two have separated them. Now, playoff points-wise, Truex is so far out in front, it really doesn't matter. But for just regular point standings, those guys have kind of separated themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still 65 points or so ahead of Kyle Busch. Yeah, so he's still a full race ahead of them. So those two are going to be probably right on each other's tail to see who can be that regular season champion and get those bonus points and like Truex needs any more playoff points, but both of them may get a bunch. And just the way Truex is running, you know, we've not seen the last of him winning stages.
No.
They're just put themselves in position week in and week out. They just keep accumulating points. I think we're going to see that really play a role, and we'll see how much that matters as this playoff run progresses.
I really do think that this is going to be one of the biggest, I guess, runs that you see by a driver out here in the past couple of years. I know Kyle Busch a couple of years ago reeled off a bunch of victories, but I don't think it wasn't consistent when he first jumped back into the car. You know, he had a great run of probably, I guess, 4 races in a row, but it wasn't week in and week out. And I like this right here. I like the playoff point system, the stage wins. It all keeps it interesting. And Martin Truex Jr. could run away with this thing.
Right. And speaking of Truex Jr., we're going to a track in his part of the country up in New Hampshire this week. A different kind of track, flat, big, long, you know, not real long straightaways, big, long, sweeping corners. It's a little bit different. The racing can be not super exciting at times, but it's a short track, and we see a lot of beating and banging going on.
Yeah, you short track, and you see some passing out there, which is what we want to see. And it's what we kind of been deprived of, especially when you look last week at Kentucky, where nobody's passing anybody hardly. You're going to see a lot of that this weekend at New Hampshire, hopefully. And I hope we're in for a good race because I really think we need to see one. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen a great race. I'd like to see one.
Yeah, we not we, but MRN had a chance to ask Chase Elliott, how do you compare New Hampshire to other tracks on the circuit?
I don't really compare Loudon anywhere we go. It's unique and, you know, a mile track that's very flat. I don't know that it really compares to any other place we go, to be honest with you.
It's just different, Jason. It's just a different type of track. We don't have, I mean, it's kind of Martinsville-ish.
Yeah, that's one only one I could really
relate to. But with Martinsville, you have the real tight turns and the long straightaways, where this is short straightaways and big, long, sweeping turns, although there's really not a lot of banking in the track. They did ask Paul Menard, how tough is it to pass cars at New Hampshire?
Yeah, it's flat, but you kind of run in the middle of the track, so it makes it really hard to pass. It's one of the hardest tracks to pass at, to finish a pass, because there's really no bottom groove, there's really no top groove, there's a middle groove, and that's about it. So guys that can get the drive off on the bottom and still have good braking and make the corner can make passes there. So hard place on brakes, too, especially with this. You know, it's always been hard on brakes, and as the aero comes off the car, as the drag gets less, so the cars don't want to slow down as good. So you'll see some brake issues, melted beads, things like that this year.
And we tend to see when we go to these short tracks, especially at this particular track, braking will be a big issue because it's hard to get these big heavy cars slowed down when you're running the speeds they're running.
Which track was it we saw brake issues at earlier? Was it California? I wanted to say it was Auto Club Speedway. Was
right.
That it? And, I mean, you know, normally you think of cars out there running those high speeds, having to get them slowed down. But they will have problems with brakes this week at New Hampshire, even though it is a 1 mile.
The race coverage is, and I didn't check. I think it's a PRN track. I'm almost positive. But race coverage of the Overton's 301 is on NBC Sports Network. Race, I think Green Flag is actually 3 o'clock or a little after three. Race coverage on both right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz and on NBC begins probably about 2:30. They'll have other shows on that, but the official race coverage starts at 2:30. Should be fun.
And the only track that gives a live a live trophy.
Yeah,
with a big lobster.
That is a big lobster. We'll be right back. We're going to give you our picks to win, and then some intelligent power rankings that actually make sense. We'll be right back.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up. Hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on Talk 101.3 The Buzz, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Jamie Kyle joined us a little bit later.
In theory.
That had to be, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that was somebody prank calling us. It's Jamie Kyle. Surely he's watched enough racing not to come up with that power rankings.
Yeah, there's a head scratcher right there.
He's feeling the heat. Some like it hot. It's hot outside today,
too. Oh, man,
it's hot. Nasty hot today. Thanks for joining us. Race this Sunday, back to Sunday this week, 3 o'clock. NBCSN and right here on 101.3 The Buzz.
Do you like the NBCSN coverage?
The coverage is different.
It is.
It's just a little different. I like the mix of having, you know, with the Fox coverage, you get two former drivers. Mm-hmm. And I know they bring Larry Mack into the conversation some, but you get, I think Letarte is awesome on the radio. Burton, if I'm ranking former drivers running, you know, on as analysts right now, he's third. He's not terrible, but I he doesn't bring what Gordon even in DW. There's the, you know, he's more than just, you know, it's the, you know, he's entertainment.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's more than just the analyst, where Burton is still a little more analytical, a little more. Gordon is obviously very good on TV. So I think Letard is great. You know, Mike Joy is Mike Joy. Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's kind of hard to beat him. Rick Allen has actually grown on me. I wasn't a big Rick Allen fan when they first started with him on the coverage. Overall, it's you know, I think the product's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I like the pregame. Kyle Petty. It's good to have somebody with a lot of opinions.
And Kyle does a good job on the pre-race stuff.
No, he does. I really like him because you need with the Fox coverage, you get Michael Waltrip. It's a lot more comedic and conversational, and less Kyle tell you how he feels, and sometimes and that's a good thing, especially with some of the way, you know, the drivers are a little, we've talked about this on the show, they're a little too commercial. Sometimes you need somebody like Tony Stewart who's just going to tell you how it is. That's Kyle Petty. He didn't care. He'll just tell you how it is. After that, let's quick jump into our power rankings. Jamie gave his list. We will not recap that. Jason, take it away.
In my power rankings, I've got your points leader, Martin Truex Jr., in my power rankings. I got second place, Kyle Larson. I think you could really, you know, a couple of weeks ago, like I said, you could flip-flop those guys, but I really think that Truex is solid number one at this point. Kevin Harvick, number four. I mean, number three in my power rankings.
Number four on this car, number three in the rankings.
Yes, and number one in your hearts, right?
Yes.
Number 18, Kyle Busch, in fourth in my power rankings. And I've got Jimmy Johnson fifth only because he has three victories on the season.
Yeah, those power rankings are going to be very similar to mine. I've had Truex on the top for the last couple of weeks. No reason to move him. Great job, even though he may have been cheating by Larson to do the things he did. He's second. I'm going to move Harvick up a spot to the third spot. Kyle Busch into that fourth spot. And just like you, I moved Johnson all the way down to the fifth spot because they've had some wins, but it's like they're winning or they're wrecking. Yep. They're sitting what, seventh, eighth, ninth in points right now, eighth, ninth in points. So, you know, you got a lot of good cars out there, and they've won a lot of races, but they're also having trouble finishing some races too. So there's been a lot of that. Picks to win.
Picks to win at Loudon this week. I'm taking Denny Hamlin in the 11 car. You look at his average finish, 10.4 up there. Taking Denny Hamlin.
I am going to take as I peruse the active finish. The guy I was going to pick is not anywhere on that list. So I'm going to stick with Keselowski. I'm going to go back to Keselowski. I rode Keselowski last week. They had some issues. Look for them to rebound. They got to generate some momentum. I know Jamie did make a fairly intelligent pick with Joey Logano. Logano's had some good runs up there as well. So it'll be interesting to see. What do you think the storylines are going to be coming out of there?
The storylines, I think, coming out of there, I think you're going to look at fuel mileage.
Fuel mileage
on a one-mile track.
Yeah, on a track that has we may the snooze factor, the ratings may be high. You can get some long green flag runs up there. Now I knew they beat and bang a little bit, but you got to be careful. They'll get some long green flag runs. So tires, as always.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem we had last week is the tires were a little too good. We didn't get enough fall off.
And it was a new tire they took.
I know the repave and when that combination happens, usually Goodyear goes super conservative. They don't want their tires to just go out there and explode after three laps like we had it.
California. They
didn't California want that one year. Speedway. One year in Indianapolis, they could run about eight laps before the tire was exploding. So they tend to go a little conservative in that regard. Mm-hmm. So we need a little less longevity in those tires and make the drivers drive a little more. Hey, it was fun today.
It was great.
Was a lot of fun.
I like the two intelligent power rankings we had.
You know, I do. I think there was some real thought into that, and we'll see how all that goes. But thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Racing Talk Radio, powered by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We'll see you next Wednesday.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.